Hello, Lionel.
You're right, Rich. What's up?
Do you want the good news or the bad news?
Oh, you know me. I want the good news first, always.
Well, the Cycling Podcast has a sponsor for the winter. An American company, Trainer Road, have approached us and they want to sponsor us for 5 months, up to the end of March. If you don't know them, they do power-based indoor cycling training software. Ah, yeah, well, the catch is they want us to follow their training program.
Hang on a minute, who's us?
Me, you, and, in theory, Daniel. But Daniel says he's not doing it.
What do you mean Daniel's not doing it?
Yeah, he says he doesn't like cycling, Daniel. But his home of cycling housemate, Rob Hatch, is up for it instead.
So what do we have to do?
3 or 4 days cycling a week.
Oh, that sounds okay. Yeah, I can do that.
On a turbo trainer. So that was it. Lionel, Rob Hatch and myself, Richard Moore, were signed up to the Trainer Road programme. It was something that was completely new to me. I used to be fit when I raced internationally and rode at the 1998 Commonwealth Games, but that was almost 20 years and 20 kilograms ago. I'm 42 now. I had a hip replacement in 2011. This Trainer Road programme was the first structured training I'd followed in a long, long time. And it was the first time I'd ever followed a power-based program. That was something that was new to me, but actually it was very simple. None of us has a power meter or an electronic trainer, so instead we use Trainer Road's virtual power feature, which estimates your power using a speed sensor, and it connects via Bluetooth to an app on your computer or your smartphone. Once I'd set that up, which was very simple, I was off and pedalling, and a la Chris Froome staring at the screen on my handlebars telling me whether I was hitting the target watts, and also reading the encouraging messages that flashed up from Chad Timmerman, the Trainer Road coach. We all started with a base programme, moved on to a build programme, and then on to more specialist training for our big showdown, a 4 kilometre pursuit race between the three of us at the Manchester Velodrome on the 29th of March. We followed the programme pretty much to the letter. Well, Rob's had a bit of man flu, but that's no excuse. Not long to go now.
Rob, you're looking very lean.
I've lost a few kilos. Not so many, but a few. I've been in the mountains.
Shadow of your former self.
Well, I wasn't that big. Come on, mate. No, I've been up in the mountains. I've had a couple of holidays back to Spain. I've been back to Gran Canaria, where I spent a lot of time living. Back home, let's say. I've seen a lot of pros out there at the minute. There's quite a few people, apart from the Tinkoff much publicised training camp, there's a few people out there doing some work of their own, off their own back, let's say. But yeah, I've been doing my own work, working hard, pedalling away, much improved pedal style, I'd say. I mean, you probably saw me and decided that I was a very average rider. We had a little rise before the fact that I can't really ride a bike properly, but the technical aspect of all the training on the Trainer Road stuff, the little text messages they put up for you, I think it's been absolutely brilliant and really helped me along the way.
Have you ever done anything like this before? Have you ever really committed to a training program before?
No. Even when I was playing sport, playing quite a lot of cricket when I was a kid, I wasn't great at going to training on a regular basis. I've always struggled with doing something like that and perhaps getting into a routine, really.
Biggest difference for me is that, you know, feeling that you don't have a choice, feeling that feeling that you will be judged if you miss a session. You won't, but it's all there, it's stored, it's a record of what you've done, and you know, ticking off another session is very satisfying.
Yeah, and the guys quite kindly sent me a turbo trainer as well, which is even more of a push really to get on it and say, well, you've been given this thing, just go out there and do it. Yeah, motivation is hard for me, particularly in winter, because I'm very much a summer person. I'm a person who gets pretty fed up when it starts to go dark at 20 to 4 in the afternoon. That really, really gets to me in winter, and having that motivation to get out there and do something, I really struggle otherwise. So yeah, you need that push.
A lot of people, especially non-elites, have not a great understanding of how far a very little amount of stress can go.
I'm Coach Chad Timmerman, a level 1 USA Cycling certified coach, and I'm the head coach and co-founder of Trainer Road.
By little, I mean in your case, you know, three and a half hours a week can actually make or contribute to really unexpectedly high gains, especially if the consistency is there, especially if you're following the structure and you know, pushing yourself, certainly in the case of these workouts, but not overdoing it and coming into the next workout flat and then the next workout even flatter. We're looking to increase your strength endurance, you know, how hard you can push the pedals and then be able to maintain that effort level, which basically is all about elevating your FTP or at least creating a base upon which we'll later elevate your FTP. But in the process, especially being indoors and having very little to focus on other than the work itself, we can introduce some ideally productive drills. And like you said, they can suss out issues, and they can also just help you improve your form in a more general sense. So, I mean, largely we're looking to maybe balance out the power input that's coming from each of your legs, but also to smooth out your pedal stroke, help you determine, you know, just how well you're pedaling. If you've got dead spots, if one knee moves laterally more than the other, but just an opportunity to kind of open your eyes to the fact that maybe you can turn the pedals a little more efficiently.
Here we go, the dreaded FTP test. This is my third one of these. This is awful. It's a warm-up that'll take me up to about 25 minutes. And 2 8-minute efforts. 8 minutes doesn't sound like much, but it's pretty painful. So we're still in the warm-up phase. Can still talk. And the messages are flashing up on my screen, telling me, reminding me that I get 2 efforts at this. It's the FTP test is a functional threshold power test, and in theory, that is the power that you can sustain for an extended period of time. I'm going to be tested here, as we've been in their 2 tests so far, over 8 minutes, and from the sort of power you can sustain over 8 minutes, it makes a calculation on what you could sustain for up to an hour, and that is your functional threshold power. Oh, that felt quite good. I was keeping it above 300 watts there.
I'm Lionel Burney, and I was once third in a 4th cat race. Now we're following a particular plan as we build up to our race. We are using the off-road, short track, cross-country, low-volume program. And that's been an 8-week program of 3 sessions a week. It's on top of the base program that we did sort of in the late part of 2015 and up and over Christmas. This has been a lot more intensity work, working a lot at VO2 max. It's been pretty difficult, actually. There's a bit of a 10-minute warm-up. Then there's a sprint, then there's a bit of rest, and then we go into some interval sessions, which are just below my FTP, which at the moment is 226. So, let's give it a go. That tells me what I'm in for over the next hour. So, warm up over, and I'm now spinning just below FTP. Quite a high cadence, around 99. Power's just under, well, it's hovering around the 220 mark at the moment. And it's, well, there's another 2 minutes of this to go. It feels quite hard.
So far, so good. It looks like, I mean, all you guys, you paced your efforts well, you know. I know none of you are on electronic trainers, so keeping it smooth is quite a challenge. You guys all did a good job. There were like little lifts toward the end, things indicated that maybe you held back a little bit if you could push that hard toward the end of an effort that's supposed to be pretty depleting. But that's all part of the nature of learning how to assess and how to pace for these specific durations. In this case, the 8-minute jobbers.
Still building towards my second one. And one of the things he drills into you before that first effort is the importance of micro adjustments and of not starting too quickly, which is always a temptation. Looking at the power graph, I certainly did it in the first one there, So if you can just squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it for the first minute until you feel that you're at a sustainable pace, that's obviously the way to do it. And then thereafter to make just small adjustments. Easier said than done. My graph isn't exactly in a straight line, it's pretty squiggly, but I'll try and manage the effort a bit better in effort two.
Oh, and there we go. Now, last interval done. That's fairly demanding. It looked quite benign on the little chart, but the hard starts really build up the fatigue, and then you have to sort of dig deep to ride fairly close to your, you know, what is sustainable for, well, for an hour supposedly, but yeah, that was difficult. Anyway, got a few minutes to warm down now, and then when I've finished, I can upload the stats to the Trainer Road website, which is currently showing me that I've done 2.3 days of turbo training over the course of the winter, which, well, without a doubt, that's a personal record.
There we have it, my FTP new one. It's gone, it was 2.31, not 2.41, and now it's gone up to 2.66, which is a big improvement, which is great for the morale, but it also means that the workouts I'm going to be doing from here on in are going to be much harder because the targets are calculated according to your FTP, so I've got that to look forward to. But still, the training has obviously worked for me.
That's great to hear. And you guys are very much on track. Your workouts are looking good. And I'm already seeing indications where you're kind of outperforming the workout requirements. And on top of that, you're coming back for the next, you know, for the next two, three subsequent workouts and keeping those on track too. So it's not like you're blowing yourself up by trying to outdo one another or maybe one of the workouts and losing sight of what we're after. And the progress so far has been measurable and noticeable. So good news on all fronts.
Chad seems to think we're all improving at a similar rate, but does he think any of us have the edge over the others?
It turned out, really coincidentally, all of you guys are very much in line with each other in terms of functional threshold power. The one mild exception is it looks like Lionel's a little lighter than you guys, so his strength to weight is a little up. So something to kind of maybe motivate Rob and Richard to either shed some weight or elevate their power at a mildly quicker rate than Lionel.
So Lionel, to my great surprise, has the edge in terms of power-to-weight ratio, but I've made my own marginal gains by employing Sir Chris Hoy as my part-time technical director. He gave me some vital tips that I feel very confident might help me win the race.
Yeah, I would probably cut down on the pints a little bit, you know, certainly stop. You want to be sort of able to pass a breathalyzer test before you start, so yeah, I wouldn't drink the night before. I think looking at you, Richard, I think, you know, you've just got to keep doing what you've been doing. You know, you've lost 5 kilos in the last, what is it, last 2 or 3 months? Yeah. You know, your hips back in order again. You know, it's, you're kind of back in the game, and I can see it in your eyes. You've got the eye of the tiger. I don't think these other guys have got a hope.
The hip's probably stronger than it's ever been. Ceramic's much better than bone.
The hips don't lie, Richard.
Okay, Chris, I'm up against two very strong opponents in Rob Hatch and Lionel Burney. Any mind games you can suggest? I mean, physically I'm fairly confident, but the psychological warfare will come in closer to the event. Well, what sort of things did you do?
The one thing I would do, the one thing I used to notice certainly was if people tried to psych me out or spent too much time, you know, worrying about what I was doing, then it was a sign they were concerned about me. So, you know, you got someone like Sean Edie with the big beard who would try and psych his opponents out. To me, that was always a sign of weakness, that he was worrying about them and seeing them as a threat. So
Lionel's got a beard.
Well, there you go.
You'll be worried.
that's the first stage.
And interviews with the press and stuff, maybe slip in a few little comments, maybe, you know, just comments about my opponents, or just keep talking about myself. I'm good at talking about myself.
Yeah, you are. I would keep it focused on, you know, don't talk about your opponents, just talk about how you're focusing on the process, not the outcome, that you're not worrying about, you know, winning or losing, and that you're just trying to do the very best that you can do, and that if you do that, you'll be there or thereabouts. That's pretty much what I said for like 10 years.
I am worried about winning or losing, though, so are you advocating lying?
There is a risk that they could be listening to this, Richard. You do realise that.
So any final last-minute advice from Coach Chad?
Good luck, fellas. Don't be afraid to bury yourselves.